You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, part of the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com, graciously hosted by Hiveworks Comics at thehiveworks.com. A lot of excellent and awesome webcomics there for you to enjoy at thehiveworks.com. I'm Fess of ArgerComic.com, and man, this is staying a whole lot of URLs. But with me this particular episode, we're going to be talking with the Digital Strips crew, including, I should have asked how do you pronounce your last names first before, but I'm going to go ahead and try it. Jason Sigler.
Yes, good job.
And Steve Shinney.
Hey, you got it.
Hooray!
2 for 2.
Excellent.
You're way better at this game than we are.
And
we lose the pronounced people's last names from the internet every week.
To be fair, we're not international either.
Okay. My real name gets mispronounced a lot, which is why I don't go by it anymore. I just go by Fess, and that's been good enough ever since I got online. So there.
Stick with what works, man. Stick with what works.
As far as like getting the show going, you got your guys' show going way back in 2005, the beginning of 2005 in January, which means that you should be having an anniversary coming up in like less than a couple weeks. So,
not us, actually. We inherited the podcast back in 2007, I think.
Well, Digital Strips will get an anniversary.
Yeah. The website, the entity, the spirit that lives within us, yes, that is coming on, 7 years now? Is that right? Yeah.
2005 would be, well.
Yeah, 8 years. Would be 8 years.
We're both terrible with math.
All right, so we're gonna start at the beginning as best as we can and work our way towards the future or the present, you know, the future from the past. But we have, from what I did, I did a few quick searches, and Digital Strips is apparently the oldest still updating webcomics podcast online, seconded only by The Dish, which started in August of 2007. And then the Webcomic Beacon, our show, which started in December of 2007. And of course, you know, we're all still updating and primarily about webcomics, because I know there are some just general comics podcasts out there. Do you know if there's anything that might be in here that I'm missing other than this?
That's pretty much our claim to fame, because you can be the longest running without being high quality.
And we are living proof of that.
Yes.
How much do you guys actually know about the very beginnings, if you guys weren't there to begin with? I mean, go ahead.
So it was started by a couple of guys, Daku and Zamson. They used to work together and read a lot of webcomics and talked about them all the time. And so, as so many shows begin, it started with hey, we should record this. And they did, and that was way back in the early bits of 2005. That's when I started listening. I was listening from the get-go. I joined the staff probably 6 months later as a writer, and then as a guest host, and then when they decided to give up the ghosts, Jason and I inherited it. Jason followed kind of a similar path, started as a writer and an artist, and then came on to host with me.
So let's go back to when you guys took it over. Do you remember what year or episode about that was?
I could do the old clicky thing and find out. Yeah, but I don't want to. I'm bad about clicking my mouse and making terrible noise. So if Steve wants to find out, he can.
I'll stealthily look it up here real quick. I believe it was 2007.
Okay,
I want to say.
No, but. And then you also mentioned as a writer and an artist. Now, it doesn't reflect it on this site, but there was a comic, wasn't there?
There was a comic. Originally, Zamson was quite a cartoonist. He still does some art. And so he had his own comic. And then Jason and I both tried to do comics afterwards. Jason succeeded. I probably have the worst ones ever up there. But yeah, so there was a comic that went with it. But it just, as we grew older and busier, we decided it was either the comic or the show. And we were better at the show. It's not saying we were good at the show. We were just really bad at the comic.
But what about for archive purposes? Why don't you have it anywhere?
Because it's really bad.
Well, come on.
No, it's because we migrated the site over and we have no idea where it went.
Yeah, we don't know what happened to it.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's always stressful.
Right. To answer your question, we started on episode 120. So that was 186 episodes ago, and that was back in June of 07. So,
we both start on the same episode?
That's the first one with both of us.
Okay. Well, say that's unfortunate.
I was with Doc two episodes before.
That's right, yeah. I can't remember when I came on. I remember being featured, or not featured, I guess, but one of the comics reviewed on one of the episodes, and that was just like the high point of my quote-unquote career at that point. And so when I was asked to actually be part of the show, I was like, whoa, really? I'm a superstar.
I'm trying to find a link that I had. I don't know. I have one of my co-hosts, which, you know, they're clearly not here to be on the show right now because, you know, their schedule. And it was kind of hard getting you guys scheduled together like this. So how do you manage to schedule to do an episode now?
Good Lord. That's a question that we can't answer because
we fight that fight every week.
Was it around Thanksgiving or before that we missed like 3 weeks in a row because we couldn't line anything up?
Yeah, something like that. Yep. We just basically kind of understand that sometime on Thursday or Friday night, we need to sit down and actually talk to each other. So,
Yeah, I did remember that digital strips did have a few hiatuses, here and there.
Hiatuses are planned. We just didn't update. It was your responsibility.
Yes, yes. We actually, with I think the last episode we recorded, we've recorded two at once, and we discussed the possibility that maybe we should get a buffer. Maybe it could work for us, because recording just, okay, it gets to Wednesday, let's, you know, do a show? I think we should do a show, yeah. You got a comic to look at? No? Okay, let's do it next week.
That has happened several times this year.
Yes.
That's exact conversation.
I was reading from an actual Gmail chat.
Let's see here. So we have digital strips, which is quite apparently the first webcomic specific podcast. There was a lot of, there in the, at least in the beginning, it looked like there were a lot of interviews mixed in as well as reviews. But it looks like essentially reviews and even interviews were like the sole basis of almost each episode.
Yeah, we've never really branched out into too much beyond reviews and the occasional interview. We just stick with what we know. We're the longest running podcast, and we're the only one that focuses just on reviews. You guys do more of your side of things, and then the Dish kind of focus on their community and the creators mm-hmm. there. So we stick with what we know. And,
you know how to review comics.
Yes. It's about all I got.
Yeah,
but so, I'm going to hold tightly to it till the day I die.
Yeah, the Webcomic Beacon, the Webcast Beacon Network is actually going through we're in a transitional period trying to redo the site into something more, of which I'm hoping to talk to some of the other webcomic podcasts and see if there could be some sort of, you know, mutually beneficial arrangement, but I'm not even there yet, but I've been kind of pressured by somebody to do it.
So are our powers going to combine and we're going to summon Captain Webcomic or something? Because that would be awesome.
I think so, maybe. It's something on the mind. You know, I can't, you guys stick with what you know. I can't leave well enough alone and just keep trying to do stuff. But it looks like each of you is it's a partnership, so you kind of you got to rely on each other to specifically do something. It's like, have you ever even just tried doing a solo show, or is that just not interesting?
Tell them about how the solo shows went before we joined.
Yeah. One of the best episodes of Digital Strips ever is when Doc, who tried to do a solo show, it just doesn't work. When I go out of town for a long period of time, Jason finds interviewers. When he goes out of town, I just say screw it, because just talking to yourself about a comic makes you sound like a total pretentious douchebag. Whereas when you're having a conversation with somebody else,
you sound like
less of a potential douchebag.
You sound like two pretentious douchebags. Yes.
And then the hate gets spread between the two of you, and you don't feel so bad. So it's good.
Well, it's also what I appreciate, especially back when the first co-host of the Webcomic Beacon, Tanya Higgins, was on. Oh, part of the entertainment was just her just giving me crap all throughout the show. It was great. I remember the first time I did it, that I recall doing like a completely solo show was an interview for, I think it was Night Zero, the zombie comic.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And while I think it was a really good interview, I also thought it was really boring because I was so worried about like doing the interview right. It's like I got to come up with all the questions, and it just wasn't as fun and as like the other episodes. But it was a good interview.
Yeah, there's just something, I don't know. Podcasting's more fun with friends, and it. Just the relationship that grows between them, the play, the interactions, all that. It's a much more dynamic, much more engaging experience and a lot less stressful.
Yeah. You could do it by yourself, but you have to have the personality for it. Like you can – there are podcasts I've listened to where one guy can definitely hold the fort by himself, but he is typically larger than life. And we've proven that with the two of us, we can barely hold it down. So –
We did actually used to have a third person with us, Bridget Alverson, who I believe still writes for, is it Robot 8? 6?
Robot 6, I believe, yeah.
Robot 6, yeah.
She's big time. She went on to bigger things.
She's Hollywood now. And,
yes, exactly.
Left us back in the Bush Leagues. So, but yeah, we did enjoy having a big cast. We've also done the other way. We did a Digital Strips news show for a while, which had like 6 hosts. And that was too many. So it's all about finding the balance, but we found 2 or 3 people to be just about perfect.
I would top out any sort of Skype interview or get together if you're recording it for entertainment purposes at 6. And even then you got to have a couple of people that tend to be quiet.
Yeah. That's how it tends to be. And there's 2 of us and we'll still talk over each other constantly. Okay, I'll edit that in post, don't worry. And then typically that doesn't get edited, it still stays in there. So got 2 bumbling idiots that sound like they're a world apart, which I guess Utah and Virginia.
So yeah, it's the Skype lag.
Yeah,
I mean, yes. The Skype lag.
The let's see here. I actually tried to do, well, we expanded to do comic book interviews with First Issue, and I also tried at one point to do like a solo reviewing show, but I also have the camera there so I can talk to the camera. And that's a lot of, I mean, now I could probably do something a little bit more solo, but you know, when you're solo, I think the video did help a lot when you're, cause you can make gestures, you can, you know, all sorts of body language will go into it as well. And of course you're splicing in, you know, comics at that point. So that it's a lot easier, I think, to do something solo, as something in video than it is as in purely audio, unless you, yeah, like you said, a really good or interesting personality or a really good voice, I would have to say.
That's interesting. Maybe I'll have to try that. I can finally ditch Jason if I get a video camera.
I don't see that being your path to stardom. I've seen your actual face.
Launched 1,000 ships, man. Launched 1,000 ships of ladies. Lady ships.
Moving on. let's see here. We have, I mean, as far as like the oldest continuously running Well, just oldest podcast. I mean, we could mention Webcomics Weekly, which started in July of 2008. So the fourth oldest, at least significant, webcomics podcast that I know of, though they have had several significant times away on indefinite hiatus and false restarts, and they rebooted now, I guess. They're starting with number one. Or they're just making fun of Tim Buckley. I don't know.
I would wager the second, knowing those guys.
Yeah. As I love listening to all of them just getting together and talking. I don't care if it's about webcomics. I personally think that they're a little out of touch with web cartoonists, at least the majority of web cartoonists in general. I mean, I don't know. That's because it seems like, well, it's like just these days, the line between print and webcomics, as far as like a professional cartoonist is concerned, the line is so grayed out and blurred these days. And they're much more on a different business model, a bit different of a business model, and still really looking towards, you know, they're top tier. Don't get me wrong, but they don't ever really talk about anything that's relevant as far as webcomics is concerned. Is my rant. I don't know if you guys listen to the show.
Webcomics Weekly is the old Scott Kurtz, Chris Straub.
That's, yep.
I'm thinking the right one, right?
Yep, the Half Pixel crew.
No, I listened to that back in the day all the time. It was one of my favorites. It was especially my favorite when they would go off on the tangents and just completely lose track of the topic.
Yeah, those are the best. I just love hearing they have such great chemistry with each other.
Yeah, yeah. I think they do it over Skype, too, so that's amazing that they can. I know they've met and they have definitely hung out more in real life probably than they do over Skype, but that helps, I think. Steve and I have never actually met in real life.
I don't want to meet you.
I didn't say I wanted to. I just said we haven't.
I know. I'm just dipping that in the bud right now. If you're going to pop the question here, I'm saying no.
I took my ring off because my finger is chafing.
I've met my old co-hosts, Tanya Higgins and Mark Savory, before at PenguinCon. We went to PenguinCon for a couple of years. Haven't met my new co-host, but I think she's in Canada. So... That's probably not going to happen too easily.
So is this like the girlfriend I had in grade school who was from Canada? Is this a real co-host?
No, she's totally on the show. I mean, you've never heard of her.
Her name is George Glass.
Speaking of solo shows, I don't know if you guys knew this, but I actually did do a solo review show in 2007, January 2007. It was maybe proto Webcomic Beacon. 2 cents and 60 seconds it was. 60-second files of... It was more or less an impression, let alone a review of a particular webcomic, and I did that for like 6 months. And I got to tell you, that was pretty fun to try to write the certain amount of words that would need to speak in 60 seconds, including the introduction. I still wish I kept all my old recordings of me screwing up for 5 or so minutes because you stumble over your words and fuck. Oh, it was. I think I might bring that back for a while. It might be fun.
That's a good idea. I like that it has a constraint of the 60 minutes things. I think if you push yourself creatively and limit yourself time wise, mm-hmm. you're going to avoid a lot of the pitfalls that come from doing a solo show.
It had to really distill it. Maybe I'll incorporate it for the comic of the weeks I'm planning to do when we get the new site rolling along.
I like that you actually write them. See, if I would do that, I would just ramble for 60 seconds. Like, oh, it's time to hang up. Bye-bye.
And the line art is, oh, I'm done. Beep.
Every show would be completely about nothing. And it's like, today I'm looking at and name the comic and then talking about something else.
Well, it'd be 30 seconds of you trying to pronounce the creator's name.
I'm pretty good at that. I come up with those more often than you. That's for damn sure.
All right, I think we're going to go ahead and take our first break, and when we come back, a little bit more.
Be the gorilla of my dreams. I would go ape over you in our fine pajamas. I feed you bananas. Monkey see, monkey do. Wouldn't you be the gorilla of my dreams? Don't make a monkey of me. Swinging's our activity, freer in captivity. Be the gorilla of my dreams. We've all got our place. It's your branch or mine. Of all of my mates, I know you'd be the prime. You'd be my primate. Be the gorilla of my dreams. I would go ape over you. In our fine pajamas, I'd feed you bananas. Monkey see, monkey do. Wouldn't you be the gorilla of my dreams? Don't make a monkey of me. Swinging's our activity, freer in captivity. Be the gorilla of my dreams. When you fed me grub, our lub couldn't wait. I told all the jungle that you're chimply great. Chimply fantastic, be the gorilla of my dreams. I would go ape over you. In our fine pajamas, I'd feed you bananas. Monkey see, monkey do. Wouldn't you be the gorilla of my dreams? Don't make a monkey of me. Swinging's our activity, freer in captivity. Be the gorilla of my dreams.
That was Gorilla My Dreams by Glenn Raphael, found at The Funny Music Project at thefump.com.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network. Follow us on Twitter at WebcomicBeacon. Email us at WebcomicBeacon@gmail.com. Or leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. Love the show? Please grab the iTunes or RSS feed. We're also on Stitcher.com with Stitcher Smart Radio, an on-demand service where you can stitch podcast and radio show feeds together for your own personal streaming service. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity in the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic books, news, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
And we're back. So let's talk about like the technical side. How do you guys, clearly, everyone's going to use Skype. Almost everybody's going to use Skype. How do you guys produce your episodes?
Well, you taught me how to do it, so you explain it.
We use Audacity. So we do it kind of differently than what apparently you do. We each record our audio separately, and then whoever's editing for that week will kind of merge the two together and edit out all our screw-ups and cuss words and stuff like that. And basically this started because Jason periodically will become a giant walking bag of snot and constantly be sniffing. So I needed to be able to cut out the sniffing that he was doing while I was talking. So splitting up the audio really let us be able to go in and address that particular issue that we had. Jason.
It's true. I am the problem. I think I've only been editing shows now for a little more than a year. So I mean, I think I just finally decided, yeah, he's probably done enough. Plus you were, no, it was when you left the country and I had to learn. Otherwise we couldn't have shows for a month.
Yeah. When I went overseas, you were like, how do I use Audacity? Well, you select what you want to get rid of and you press delete.
That was a good month because we actually got like four really good guest hosts/interviews. So that was the most diversity we've done, I think, probably in our entire run. It was because Steve left the country.
She'll leave the country more often.
Leaving again.
So, I don't think you asked me the question before the show, and I don't think I entirely answered you about how we actually, you know, record the show. We don't record each of us individually, which I hear that's what everybody else does. Everyone I talk to, I know Webcomics Weekly does it. The Geek Life does it, which is Melissa from First Issues. That's the other podcast that she is on. They record individually and then put it all together. Yes, you're going to get a higher quality thing like that, but I didn't know to do that when I first started. And then I was just editing, recording from Skype. Excuse me. Recording from Skype. And that was just it. I just had everyone try to get the best sound that they could on each of their lines because it was quicker that way. And especially when we had guests on, it's like I can't just up and that's at least I felt I can't just up and ask, hey, could you record yourself and send that to me, please?
Yeah, the two times that I've tried to do interviews, both those episodes are permanently lost because I was trying to explain to them how to set up Audacity, and it failed on one level or another. Probably my explanation. So I had two great interviews, both of which are lost to the ether because Audacity is hard. So now, definitely the easier way to go.
The best was the night that something happened. I can't remember what it was. Some stupid news story that we thought would be awesome.
Webcomics.com went behind a paywall.
That's what it was. And DJ Kaufman, of course, lost it. And we were like, dude, we're both online. He's online. Let's get him and interview him like right now and get his like moment-to-moment thoughts on it. And we talked to him for 20, 30 minutes, something like that on it. And was his file lost or something? We asked him to record himself and nothing came of it. We couldn't find it. It's gone.
There were some recording issues and yeah, it was bad audio. So
that's, it sounds like a good idea. And yeah, it does make it sound overall better typically, but I mean, that's how correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, but we did not start doing the record yourself and send it until Brigid was gone.
Yeah, that is correct. So it was a more recent addition. When there was only two files, I thought I can probably handle doing this because it is so much easier to just record and be done.
Yes. And we would do that, and we used a voiceover IP recording software, Pamela. And it was a nice, sexy British accent. We loved hearing Pamela every time.
I used Pretty May for the longest time.
Yeah, Pamela would crash every 5 minutes.
Yeah, Pamela was crap.
In between that and Brigid dropping every 3 minutes, we finally just said, okay, let's record ourselves and see how that works.
We had a problem with Tanya. I don't know, it was like a whole year that every once in a while her audio would totally just panic and it would just like sound like an echoing underwater dolphin robot something.
That totally sounds like a show I would watch. Listen to, whatever.
Well, you see, the other thing was because I learned from it was the other geek podcast, My Extra Life, the Geek Life podcast or whatever it was. And Extra Life podcast. And they always broadcasted their podcast live. So I was like, because I never do searches before I start a project. At least I used to not to. It was like, I figured that's what you do. You broadcast live. So when I started the Webcomic Beacon, I started to broadcast live. And adding that to the mix totally screws up a lot of things, because a whole lot of things can go wrong, because you have even more programs that have their own volume settings and are also trying to hijack your audio from Skype and your computer. And it's like in the past few months, we stopped doing live shows because, well, hardly anybody ever showed up for the live shows. I mean, they're on Sunday mornings, essentially. And you know what? We get better audio quality while not trying to screw with, you know, dealing with whether or not the chat is up and blah, 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 because it would go down every once in a while. So no, but that was another headache. But I do know that it was some ways that some, you know, that they, I think they actually did record everything on one, though they did like the two computer method where you have one computer tapped into Skype that is talking to everybody else, and then that one just records everybody. And I think that's where I learned to just sort of do everybody at the same time, though I used Pretty May at the time. And right now I got an external box. It's like a switchboard almost. It's an external soundboard. It's by Behringer. And it acts as a sound card, so I can just select that in Skype and in my recording program. And so I don't really have to worry about whether or not there's a setting here or there selected. It works out pretty well, and Goldwave actually has some really sophisticated noise removal algorithms, which I've fairly cleaned up some really bad audio. So I've been really impressed, so hence why I also bought it too. So I don't know if you've ever had to deal with doing filters or anything.
No, we'd love if we got a filter button. We would never. The podcast would end because every single voice, everything would be filtered. It would sound like morning drive time instead of very, very nuanced, very cool filters. So it's best that we don't get that.
Yeah, we keep it simple, not because we're old school, but because we're simple.
Well, I'm saying noise filters, clean it up. Now, I'm not saying adding a reverb for the whole show, but which would be hard. Maybe cool or hard to listen to. I'm not sure.
I think the worst audio problems we have is when I record on my laptop and I forget to switch the microphone from my USB one to the laptop microphone.
Yes.
And it sounds like I'm in a tunnel underneath a stadium somewhere. And there's no way to get that audio back. There's no way to clean that up. It's just, yeah, we've lost lots of shows like that.
We've lost a few episodes to bad audio, but for the most part, we're to the point where people are used to our audio quality, and if they don't like it, they'll stop listening, and we'll be sad.
I don't know. I'm not trying to boast. I'm just saying this program has done a fair job of cleaning up some really crappy audio. But I also found another trick. Like, this is like if you have like a lot of different people on, because it happened with the newscast, because we also started a news portion of the Webcomic Beacon, and one of the people that were constantly on, I don't know what it was. His mic was incredibly bad, and if he recorded the show, it was terrible. But if somebody else recorded the show, only they were kind of terrible, because it would siphon out their audio for like whenever they're not talking, and when they're talking, it's not as bad as his constant over the background. So.
Yeah, luckily, I think that's why we stick to just the two of us, because we've figured out our issues and we know how to get around them. So if we have another person come in, it's like, oh, your audio's wrong. Okay, we can't do this show. Goodbye. Instead of, we'll work around this. We'll clean up the audio. It's like, okay, well, we tried. Thanks for coming. You want me to plug your comic? No? Okay, goodbye.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's the level of professionalism from Digital Strips.
Yeah, are you serious?
No. I,
okay.
No, we've never done that.
That's not the reason we lose shows. We don't hang up on people and say, your audio is terrible, goodbye.
Okay.
Scott Kurtz.
We've had people's entire family dinner conversations go on in the background. We'll take any audio we can get.
All right, so I'm not sure where to go from here.
The future.
So, what are you guys looking for towards the future with Digital Strips? More of the same?
I want to replace Jason with a hot chick.
Well, I do have to say, adding a girl to the mix, I think, is a lot more pleasant for the ears for the general audience.
I want to become a hot chick, so I think we're in the right. I think we're on the right track. I think 2013 is going to be the year of Digital Strips.
All right, let us make this happen. I don't know where this is going, but I'm excited.
Me too, for totally different reasons.
All right, so you have looking at your archive, you've got. Like I said, the majority of the archive are reviews, but I do notice a couple other things in here aside from reviews or interviews. I'm occasionally seeing posts for Book Club and Horizons Watch. Could you explain what any of these are? Are they like still like budding ideas, or these are just purely occasional things?
All right, you take Horizons Watch because you like that one, and I'll take Book Club because I came up with it and you hate it. Go.
I only hate it now. And the Horizons Watch is something we've been doing for a while now. It's we try and do it once a month, but this last year we discovered we did not do it once a month. We like to pick newer comics. We each find a comic that's pretty new on the scene that hasn't been around long enough to build an archive that we feel we can give it a full show review treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of comics, you're like, yeah, it does this, and it's done it 17 times so far, and that's all we know. We just do a Horizons watch just to kind of get these comics a little more, a few more eyes on them and pimp them while they're young and, you know, so we can say we knew them when, before they hit it big.
All right. And also don't say pimp them while they're young again. It sounds a little wrong.
He says a lot of things that sound wrong.
I say a lot of things that are wrong. Yeah.
And unfortunately, they only get left off when I edit the show, so... Sit back, you'll probably hear a few of them. Book club is pretty much just what it sounds like. We would take a comic that is a lot longer in the archives and just look at it over the course of however long it takes to look at it. Order of the Stick took...
Like a year? Was it a year?
Was it a full year? It was like 7 or 8 months at least.
Well, you kept delaying doing it. Like, we've actually done book club for a while now, but one of us picks the comic and the other one always hates it. And you have to do it for like 8 episodes and it leads to a lot of fighting. We almost broke up over Templar Arizona.
Oh, wow.
And then again over Order of the Stick.
And again now over the Rack.
Oh, I don't think we'll finish that one. You shouldn't have mentioned it because I was just going to let that one die a slow and quiet death.
Oh, okay. Awesome. I got another comic we can pick then.
So that's that one. And we came up with, we had Rate, which was rough around the edges. It was comics that we get recommendations for, but are really kind of rough. They're not quite there in terms of getting a review. With our reviews, we try to be positive. We don't want to look at something that's just not that good because we wouldn't have anything good to say about it. And that's not good podcasting, and it's not really good for the person submitting it either. But for those, we took 2 or 3, I think, and kind of looked at them and told them kind of what they were doing wrong. And that show didn't seem to have any listeners or feedback, so we haven't done another one.
Oh, it got some feedback. It was, you guys are dicks.
We had one episode of, it was called Webcomic Rescue. One episode, which basically we're going to look at somebody's comic and have them on, and then give them suggestions about how they can improve it. One episode. And they actually, I think he actually did take one of our ideas, which it was mostly like a gag-a-day sort of thing. I forget what it was. Is it like Minos the Minotaur? I think it was.
Oh, yeah. I've read that comic.
Yeah. And one of the suggestions was try doing a storyline. And they ended up doing like a short little storyline. And it was interesting. So it was, I don't know. It just didn't work out. The webcomic being, we've tried so many different things. And, you know, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it's dead to us for the most part, sadly. But no, it's like when you talk about reviewing comics, like you said, like the book club one, I guess specifically looks at comics that are, well, huge and have huge vast land. And what is your typical length for reviewing webcomics in general then?
Whatever we can get done in a week. Because like I said, we typically look at the calendar, realize, oh yeah, we got to do a show this week. What can I realistically read in that time and go from there? It for reviews, it tends to be 100 to 200 in the archives, sometimes longer. It depends on the comic. Like if it's a gag a day, that can go faster versus a story-based comic. For Horizons, like you said, typically 30 to 50, but we sometimes stretch. So, but yeah, reviews are pretty shallow, maybe a year or two, so we don't have to read ridiculous amounts just for a review.
So you do read the whole archive then?
Yes.
Except for the rare instance where I don't.
Yeah, that's always the trouble that comes of webcomics is that some cartoonists do it right, especially if they have story stuff and they do separate their archive into chapters. Not everyone does that, and it's just this huge list, which unless they're like labeled properly, it's kind of tough. Unless it's like a gag a day where it doesn't matter where you click, and it just becomes daunting, especially for like a lot of the older comics, Free Fall Jack and a few other ones that I just said, well, I'm going to read this. I pick up at some point and then I put it, I'm going to read this from the beginning at some point. And so some of these have taken, Misfile took me like, I sat and read Misfile for like 20 hours And I didn't realize what time it was. You know, I'm just sitting there. I work at night, so I like it was on the weekend. So I was like, I'm used to being up like really late. And it's like it's 7 a.m. Jesus Christ!
And I'm only halfway through this archive.
Yeah, I wasn't even done.
I've peed myself repeatedly. What happened? This comic is so good.
Actually, my thoughts were, I should eat something.
Yeah, that would have been the first one. Yeah, we review not just comics but web comics, so we definitely take the whole site into account. If there's something that really, really needs to be pointed out about the site, good or bad, and it typically is the archives because some archives are just terrible. We reviewed one recently that didn't even have archives.
Oh,
it was literally click first back. I don't even think it was first and last. It was just back and forward.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we didn't. I don't think we liked that one, if I remember correctly.
We had things to say. Yeah, we've called people out on their archive, and we've called people out on their hidden text or just interface or even their layout or their background. Jason gets so uptight when people have bad backgrounds.
Yeah, I do. Well, I'm typically the visual eye, and Steve is more for the writing, but we have crossover, definitely.
The show's called Digital Strips, but I think I got a hint there that you don't necessarily only read webcomics.
I mean, in my spare time, I read
some comic. I meant review.
No, for review. No, we just do webcomics.
Okay.
I think.
You don't remember reading anything.
I worded that poorly and set you up for an awesome question, and instead, no, that's just a lie. I apologize. We read nothing else.
Okay,
I can't even read.
So it is just webcomics. What about, like, would you ever read a print comic or a collection of digital comics in, like, a PDF as somebody sent you, hey, could you read this? Is that on the table at all for you guys, or just strictly, nope, just webcomics?
I would certainly read it because I'll read anything. But as far as putting it on the show, we try and stick just to webcomics.
Okay.
The line is really getting kind of tricky these days. There's a lot of comics that are put up on the web that were originally released in print, and now they're just put on the web, you know, 5 years later as an opportunity to get the stuff out there. So far we haven't addressed that question. We'll talk about anything, but as far as like the official digital strips, this is the comic for the week.
Okay.
It's got to be a webcomic.
Awesome. That's pretty cool. The Webcomic Beacon has been getting away from being strictly webcomics because, I don't know, I felt like I've already said as much as we could. But we don't do like a review show, and there's plenty of content out there, like 30,000 webcomics to have at you, basically. So your show is definitely a lot more friendly for that particular, angle.
Yeah, we've never felt like there was a lack of material for us. You know, the general rule and the general theme behind digital strips is 95% of webcomics suck, but here's one that doesn't. And we've never had a problem finding one. Well, we have, but that was our own fault, not fault of the webcomics that are out there. So we're going to stick with it. We like it.
Excellent. Let's see here. So you'll be celebrating your 8th anniversary next month. Or actually, this particular episode will be out in January. So we'll just say you're celebrating your 8th anniversary. Hooray!
Yay, us! The world didn't end.
And
kiss my butt, Lions.
You're still going to pay for that.
May the Mayan gods strike you down.
Bring it on, Apocalypse. I'm from Idaho. Bring it on.
So, all right. Besides digital strips, do you guys have any other creative works out in the ether of the internets, or is this basically what you got going on online?
As far as the two of us together, this is mostly it. We do occasionally throw together another show that's just either we do a games podcast that we've done two of, which we do whenever we don't have a comic to talk about, or whenever we have time afterwards. And then we also do a random ramble show called Put Up or Shut Up. Occasionally, I occasionally update my blog and my other blog, and occasionally I tweet things. I do a lot of things occasionally, and that's why I'm not famous.
Yes, that's true. And I mentioned the comic that I was featured on Digital Strips for back in the day. I've not updated in a while, but I finally let that URL lapse, and I put it on Blogspot, so you can find that comic, which I think is 206 comics long at this point, is amazingsuperzeros.blogspot.com. And I did another one with, actually, Daku. He wanted to do a comic based loosely on Digital Strips, but is also a fantasy world. It still blew my mind. He wrote it, basically, and I would kind of re-script and then draw. And we actually used some webcomics in the comic at the creator's approval. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it was called
Digital Strips Adventures,
and you can find it at adventures.digitalstrips.com. And we got Zach Wiener lended us Captain Excelsior for the first arc, and we also did Rice Boy, Evan Dom. So we did some awesome stuff. I love doing that, but eventually it got to the point where I didn't have time, and also I didn't know what the hell Daku was talking about. he's very sci-fi minded, and a lot of the stuff he would write I just could not wrap my mind around. So that we ended that prematurely, unfortunately.
Oh,
also like so many other things Jason does.
Aww.
I think you need to update your website a little bit in the about section with links to what you were talking about, at least, because I just was going to pull up amazingsuperzeros.com and it's not there.
No, the header obviously is not supposed to be there either. It's quite stretched and terrible, and I keep telling myself I'll get to that, and I don't get to it. So.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything.
No, please do, because it might actually finally force us to do it.
Well, you have until this episode comes out in the middle of January to get your act together.
Well, son of a bitch,
that
ain't
gonna
happen.
That's the ultimate douche move, like, to change your site after someone records something about it, but before it gets posted. Like, we've had comics just go away between the time we reviewed it and recorded it before that we posted it.
Oh, wow.
And it pisses us off to no end. So many comics are like, yeah, I'm done. Like, but you just updated 2 days before we recorded.
Wow.
We've actually done that so often now we call it We Kiss of Death That Comic, because, I mean, it's happened a lot, especially recently. There was one that we actually looked at this last year that the site is gone. Like, it's not the comic stopped updating. The site is now one you can purchase on GoDaddy.com.
Wow.
We don't know what happened to it, and we feel bad.
I with our archive, it's there's over 250 episodes, and I don't usually go back and check to make sure all the links are still active, but I do know that some people that we've had on, they have they moved the whole archive to like Tumblr or something like that, so the old site isn't there anymore, or it's just not online, period. And a lot of people that we've had on also don't update anymore. So it's almost like, are we bad luck too? But no, there's a lot of people we've had on are still updating. So that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And more often than not, we get comments back from the creators in our comment section underneath each episode. And they're typically very positive and thanks for reviewing. And yeah, you're right. I need to look at this stuff. I can't think of the last one we had where they were just like, you're wrong and I'm coming to your house to kill you.
Well, it's,
what was the one that I said was poo? They were kind of mad about that.
Well, it's because you said their comic was poo. I was mad at you for that.
Because their comic was poo.
It happens.
So you don't swear on your show?
A bit.
I think dick is probably the worst we say.
We talk about male genitalia a lot, but no, we don't cuss.
It's not that we talk about it a lot. It's that the comics we review talk about it a lot, and thus we have to.
Granted, we are a show about things on the internet. You do occasionally have to talk about poorly drawn wieners.
Yeah, I think I used to swear a whole lot more in my youth, 5 years ago. But these days, I don't swear too often because I'm looking for that, you know, wider audience. Don't have to put that marker on iTunes for is this offensive content. That's so much.
But I didn't even know that was something you could mark. So when I edited shows, I left like, what was it, 20, 25 of them as explicit when they had nothing explicit in them.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that was another thing Steve had to teach me once I started editing shows.
Were you swearing in the outro or something? I don't know. Why is everything so dirty?
Yeah, I actually never – I mean, there's probably a few episodes which I probably should have marked that. Like any of the adult comic episodes that we had on, the fetish discussion episode, probably should have. But I do put a warning at the beginning, at the top of the show, that saying this episode is a little bit higher rated than our typical episodes. Please be forewarned.
A few years, or well, it was about a year ago now, we reviewed Ellie from Planet X, which is this amazingly sweet, saccharine, family-friendly strip. And we loved it. We gave it a great review. And we didn't think anything of it. And then the guy who does this comic, whose name I can't think of right now, he posted a thing on his site about it. It's like, hey, I was reviewed by Digital Strips. They had a lot of nice day. Go check them out. Oh, by the way, they're really potty mouths. This was the one where Jason told a story about his mother-in-law talking about vaginas and stuff in the car and stuff. And so,
oh my God.
It seemed totally normal to us, but apparently to him it was pretty vulgar.
Did you ever see – do you ever watch Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged?
Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged?
Yeah, it's this sort of like web series where they took like the Yu-Gi-Oh! TV series, like the cartoon show that was arguably poorly dubbed. And they were it's basically making fun of it. You look up Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged, it's this great show where they're basically making fun of the dub. The whole time. So it's like, but you still basically get the gist of the show. And then since then, the show has been canceled. So he still like occasionally will write episodes here and there as in sort of a manner as which if they got translated poorly and still having fun with it. But one episode was the guy was a guest on some podcast. What's his Little Karibo is the guy's name. He goes by Little Karibo. And, it was basically a whole episode where they changed every single noun from the first episode of Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged into vagina or vaginas. So it was like vagina dialogues or something like that version of it. And it's just freaking balls to the wall or lips to the wall crazy. and then we had a whole episode where it was like, okay, I couldn't get this out of my head. Let's do a whole episode where we talk about different web comics and then change the name of their comic to be something with vaginas in it. So that was one of the more explicit episodes, I would say. But it was great.
Yeah, as soon as you mention vaginas, it's going to get dirty.
Well, no, that's what douches are for.
But everyone's going to be happy.
Yeah, well, to be honest, there are not enough vagina jokes, you know, per capita compared to dick jokes. So
no, people like Tina Fey are helping that situation, but it's a long ways to get to that goal.
I need a whole lot of vaginas.
So this episode started off fairly clean, and so our.
Digital Strip strikes again.
Yes. Our interview with Digital Strips has gotten fairly dirty here. I think that's enough for us to go ahead and close down the interview. And Jason Siegler and Steve Shinney, thank you very much for coming on the show. Did I get your last names right again?
Indeed.
Yes.
Hooray.
Woohoo.
And anybody listening can go check out Digital Strips at digitalstrips.com. If you like them, grab their RSS feed and bug them about updating their website if they haven't done so yet.
Someday.